We're rocking and rolling. Welcome to the first ever Summit Drive Time with Brandon
and Jason. Jason and Bran. Bran and Jason.
However,
listen,
you,
when we do the podcast, you want your name first or second?
What? Historically, the B comes before the J.
Okay, that's totally fine.
And so it's like Bran and Jason and Bran. People are going to be confused.
Summit Drive Time.
Yes.
Brandon and Jason.
Correct.
All right.
I love that.
I do too.
Hey, this is your first ever podcast experience.
Yeah.
How many
have you done?
We don't need to get into that.
A lot. A lot of podcasts.
This isn't my first time on
this. This is my first ever podcast. You've told me that it's going to go swimmingly.
Yes.
It's going to go smoothly.
You never even listened to a podcast.
No, I wouldn't even know how to find one.
I sent you some to listen to.
Mm-hmm. I did not listen to this. You're welcome.
Well, that's very kind of you. Jason, we're calling this Drive Time for a specific reason. And that reason is what?
Well, I did a little research on the average commute currently here in the United States of America. And I believe we're looking at like right about 22 minutes. The people are in their car one way driving somewhere to maybe to the office or whatever they do.
Dropping the kids off,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah. Here in Greenville, South Carolina, where we reside, it's really booming. Top 10 relocation city in America for like 10 years straight, something crazy like that. And so there's so many people around here that no matter where you want to go, you're in the car for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So why not redeem the time, so to speak, and talk about something that maybe folks would like to listen to while they're riding down
the
road.
That's right. And this is primarily for the people of the church in which we pastor.
Summit that's right.
Church,
Summit Church.
Here in Greenville, South Carolina. Right. But if you don't go to Summit, that's okay.
Right. And if you're not riding in a car,
that's
it's also okay. It was horse and buggy.
Yeah.
Like a pony.
A scooter.
You could have a scooter or rollerblades. Are the kids still rollerblading?
If they're not, they should be. I heard rollerblading skating is going to be on the next Olympics, Summer Olympics.
Huh. Isn't that something?
Are you ready for that?
Yeah. So what we're saying is, no matter your mode of transportation, maybe you're just going for a brisk walk because it's good for your heart. We want to be able to provide something to listen to that may be helpful in some way, shape, or form, possibly entertaining, depending on your sense of humor.
Yeah.
And just an opportunity to hang out and talk with folks.
That's right. And we're going to bring in friends from time to time.
Absolutely.
But today... No friends.
No friends today.
Just us.
It's just me and you sitting here in this place. Grayson Cato, the worship pastor, is in the corner currently getting some work done.
Yeah.
But it's just us today.
It's just us.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the people of Summit, I know, we're putting this out, is May the 7th, Monday, May the 7th.
Yep.
Yesterday was our Celebration Sunday service.
Celebration
now, I'm
going
to like pull the curtain back a little bit. We're recording this, obviously, before Monday.
Yeah.
So we're really saying Celebration Sunday is going to happen. But if it rained or something, just act as if it did happen.
I think it happened.
It happened.
And I think it was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
It was probably one of the best Celebration Sundays we've ever had. Now, people may go, what's Celebration Sunday? And that's a fair question.
That's a great question.
At Summit, and maybe we're going to get into this in a few moments, we are one church in five different locations.
Mm-hmm.
We're one church with five congregations spread across the upstate of South Carolina. Now, the upstate of South Carolina is 10 counties. It's 1.4 million people.
Yes.
And so
we're currently in three of those.
We're in three of those 10 counties. And so what we like to do, sometimes on Sunday nights throughout the year, we'll gather everybody together for a service. But one Sunday morning every year, in the heart of downtown Greenville, which is just a beautiful place. If you've never been, you need to come visit. In the heart of downtown Greenville, we'll have a service where all the congregations come together. And it's primarily a bunch of worship through song, which is great. A lot of fellowshipping with one another, because obviously you imagine all the congregations coming together. You're seeing people that you haven't seen in a while. There's some baptisms, and that's always exciting. Anywhere, usually from 15 to 30 people that have been baptized when we've gathered for these. So it's a wonderful service, and it's just the time we come together and celebrate the Lord's faithfulness and kindness to us as a church family. And we kind of look to the past and what the Lord has done for us, and we look to the future about what the Lord's calling us to, because we desire to continue to plant churches, not only here in the upstate, but around the nation and around the globe. So Celebration Sunday.
That's right.
One of our favorite things we do.
Yeah, and this year we're celebrating 11 years. When did Summit actually, what was the first date?
Yeah, we began in 2007.
Okay.
You weren't here for that.
I wasn't.
You weren't here
no.
then, but I was here, and we began officially in 2007.
What was the date?
Oh, the actual date. You know what? I believe it was September the 15th.
Okay.
September the 15th of 2007.
So we're coming up on it.
Yeah, and we've planted, obviously, like I said, more congregations. A lot of those congregations have started in the spring. We've started more congregations in the spring than in the fall. Therefore, we moved everything to, as far as our celebration, commemorating another year of ministry, we moved it to the spring. Right. So that's the reason we're meeting now.
So what we want to do today is kind of reflect on the last 11 years. So for the next 15 minutes or so, you were one of the ones that planted Summit. I've only been here for 6 years.
Right.
So I am
that's
going
all?
To ask, yeah, just six.
Man, I feel like we've known each other forever.
Right? But I'm going to ask you some questions reflecting back over the
sure.
last 11 years.
Okay.
Kind of what you've learned in this process of being a church planter. So the first question is this. What has surprised you the most over the past 11 years in this crazy thing called church planting?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of things that have surprised me. One that jumps out, however, is how many people are willing to be a part of church planting. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it takes in a consumer-driven culture that we live in. And what I mean by that is so many people want things done for them already set and ready to go. Meeting their needs in specific ways. And while that may have some pros, it's got some cons. And when you come to the church planting world, I'm surprised at how many people are excited and want to be a part of actually starting something. Like, not everything's fully developed. From a children's ministry to a student ministry to a worship ministry, even places to meet, like the number of people go, no, like I want to be a part of reaching my geography with the beauty and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm all in on what it means to roll up my sleeves and get after it and serve the community that I live in, but also serve my brothers and sisters who are also a part of this community where we're planting. I don't know. I think I was surprised at how many people said I'll be a part of that. Because we really started, when we started 11 years ago, it was just five families, sitting in a living room, talking about the nature and the purpose of the church, God's design for the church. And when I say church there, I'm talking big C, Christ followers around the globe, which is obviously made up of a lot of little C congregations. And so to have those five families sitting there and talking about what it means to be the church and to see how the Lord has continued to bring people to be a part of planting, not just for the sake of having a new church and a new geography, but having a church and a geography that wants to be a missionary, have missionaries in that geography. Well, that's been incredibly encouraging to me because the Lord's brought more and more people. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that. When you start a church, I think you're just a little confident in what the Lord had called us to do, but maybe hesitant in how does this actually work? Like, what does this actually look like?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful. I've been surprised at how many people say, I want to be a part of building and building something and being part of something that's growing.
And it happens with each plant. We're five in now, and with each one, it doesn't happen. You don't continue to plant without that happening.
And I think each time you're wondering, hey, we're going to go start again on the other side of town, or we're going to go start in this next county over. Will there be people in that place that also want to be a part, like people where we originally began were?
Right.
And the Lord's been super kind and faithful and brought those types of people around. I guess what I'm saying is I haven't had to convince a lot of people to be a part of church planting and thinking outside of themselves and thinking about their geography. There's a lot of people that are thinking and processing and praying that way. And so to be able to galvanize church communities with people who are living missionally where God in His sovereignty has placed them has been surprising yet incredibly encouraging.
Yeah. Church plants, especially when you're doing more than one, isn't without its difficulties.
Yeah.
But oftentimes those difficulties make way for some amazing moments of rejoicing and celebrating what God's doing. So as you reflect on 11 years, what's kind of been, man, that was a really difficult thing that happened or a difficult season. These are difficult things to navigate, but actually are at the same time incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, just the Lord's provision. I was a part of a great church here in the upstate of South Carolina before planting, and planted this church, Summit, with their blessing. And so that was great. Like, I'm thankful for that. But that blessing did not equal, here's a whole bunch of people and here's a whole bunch of money. That blessing from the elders of that church was, we believe the Lord's in this. We believe the Lord is calling you towards this. And so go with our blessing. And so to walk away from a place that was very instrumental in my life and a place that took care of me and my family in an array of ways and kind of step out into the unknown of, hey, Lord, you got to show up. And that's everything from, you know, super practical, like how I'm going to pay my bills, to referencing a few moments ago, who's going to be a part of this, who desires to be a part of actual church planting in a geography. And so I would love to sit here and tell you that I never struggled with inadequacy, that I never struggled with doubt, that I never struggled with, hey, did I hear God right in the midst of all of this, especially the beginning part of the journey. But the fact remains, the Lord was super faithful through all of that, and He's continued to bring people. And I keep saying the same thing, maybe over and over again, who want to be a part, right? They want to. It's not just they want to attend. It's not just that they want to come listen. It's not just that they want to come see. Like, they want to be a part of actually being the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus in this geography where God in His sovereignty has put us. And there's challenges in that, obviously, of making disciples and raising up disciples. Part of our job is to equip people to do the work of the ministry. That's not just inside the four walls of our facilities. It's also outside. It's primarily outside, in my opinion. Yeah. And so what does it look like then to invest in people? And you invest in people, and some of those people walk away after you've invested in them, and that's a challenge. But the Lord continues to bring other people who step in to lead and be a part. So just His provision time and time again in an array of ways over 11 years. I could write a whole book on ways that He's shown up time and time again, because I believe it's not Jason's idea. I believe this was God's, I believe this is a part of God's plan. I believe the church by His very nature is an organism, organism that is made to reproduce. And so we're just joining God in what it is that He's up to.
Yeah. A lot of people, Jay, have been around for a long time. Some people have been with us for a short amount of time. But those people that have been with us for a long time and have gone through different, leadership summit or whatever, have, you know, I've heard the story of Summit and I've heard things about you and about planting.
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah.
What is something, though, that you've experienced that you've loved about planting that maybe nobody's ever heard this story? What's been the craziest, the most fun, the most interesting story that maybe you haven't shared with a bunch of people?
Well, as Summit has continued to grow, there's probably a lot of people that don't know the story if they don't get into like our Membership Connect classes and that sort of thing. But I said it just a few moments ago. We didn't have a lot when we began other than a handful of willing people who wanted to be the church where the Lord had placed us. And so we initially began meeting in a few homes, but it wasn't long before there were too many people to be in homes. Our homes aren't that big. When we were starting out, there was no one could really host and kids and all that kind of stuff. And so we began to look for space, you know, where we're going to meet. And there was a business park up the road. We called the business park, and the guy who owned the business park said, well, you need to come meet with somebody here. There's a business in our business park that may be interested in hosting you as a new church plant. And I remember going, okay, that's interesting. And so we went into this business park, me and a buddy of mine, and we walked into this room. We really didn't know what we were walking into. We walked into this room, and there were 10 ladies sitting around a table. And so we sat down at the table, and they began to ask us some questions about our desire to church plant and why we wanted to do it and so on and so forth. And after we talked for a while, this is what they said to us. It was fantastic. They said, we are the regional distribution center for Mary Kay Cosmetics. And we would love for you to use our space. We're not in here on the weekends, and we're never here on Sunday. And so if you would like to use our space to launch your church, you can use this space.
That's a one-to-one Mary Kay distribution center.
Right, exactly. Like, it had a nice room that maybe had like 100 people, and then it had these little rooms where they would do makeup things throughout the week that we could actually turn into children's rooms. And so it wasn't a big space. It was like 4,000 square feet total, so it's not very huge. And it was just super encouraging that these ladies, I mean, this is what I goes back to for the Lord's provision. Like, I don't know these ladies exist when we step out in faith to plant this church, but they came up and said, if you want to use this space, you'll be like the fourth church to use this space. to kind of start a church. And that was just their heart. And I thought that was incredibly encouraging. I had never planted a church. A lot of my buddies had planted churches. I knew that most of my buddies who planted churches, like the first thing they had to do was buy a trailer. And then they would spend every weekend loading and unloading and then loading back a trailer. And so when these ladies said, you can use all of our stuff, you can use our chairs, you can use our tables, there's a little storage closet in the back where you can put your sound system. And all we needed to do was come on Sunday morning and take about 30 minutes and get everything set up as far as sound goes. I was like, man, this seems like a win. And so that's where we began. It was really nice of them. We were only there, though, for like 3 months, 4 months, and they came to us one day and said, we're moving out. Like, we don't need, Mary Kay Cosmetics doesn't need this space anymore. Would you like it? Would you like to take over the lease and you can have it 24/7? You know, I remember asking, well, how much is that going to cost? And they gave us some number, a few thousand dollars or whatever. And I remember thinking, well, that might as well be millions of dollars because we don't have that kind of money. And so I said, well, we'll pray about it. And so we began to pray and we took a couple of weeks. We were praying. Well, during that time frame, I was at a, we were asking like crazy stories. I was at a Panera Bread just working and I had my laptop out. I didn't have my Bible out. I wasn't looking super spiritual or anything. Like, I was literally just writing some things on my computer. And this guy came walking up to me. I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and he came walking up to me. And the church I was a part of before planting was a pretty large church, several thousand people. And so there were often times around the city where people would come up and talk with me that they just knew me from the church. I might not know them. And so I figured maybe this was just a guy from my former church walking up, but it wasn't. This guy walked up to me, and he said, this was his opening line, which I just think is a fantastic opening line. He said, I don't know who you are or what your story is, but God told me to give you this. And he handed me money. And I'm supposed to tell you that more's on the way. And that really shocked me. That doesn't happen in my everyday life that often. And so I looked at him and I said, well, I can tell you who I am, and I can tell you a little bit of my story if you have a minute. He said, yeah, go ahead. And I said, well, my name is Jason. Some families and I, we're just starting planting a church here in Greenville. We're just getting started. And he said, well, the Spirit of God told me to come and hand you that money and to tell you that more money's on the way. And I feel like I'm supposed to pray over you today. I was like, well, go for it, man. And so he prayed. I'll never forget his prayer. He prayed that the Lord would not lead us down dead ends and that we would continue to listen well to the Spirit in this process. And so when he got done praying, I just said, hey, thanks so much for listening to the Holy Spirit today. You've been an encouragement to me. Obviously, you've blessed me in many ways. And he said, my name is Jack. I'm from Alpharetta, Georgia, just passing through. And I thought this was what I was supposed to come tell you today. He turned around and walked off. And so that stuck out to me early on in like, hey, the Lord's going to provide for what it is the Lord's called us to. I mean, the next week I was in another coffee shop and this lady walked up and she said, hey, Jason. And I was like, hey, lady, I don't know. And she told me how she knew me and same thing. She was in the coffee shop maybe for an hour. I was just sitting there working and on her way out of the coffee shop, she just pulled out her checkbook and said, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to give this to your church, and she gave us a financial gift. So all that's going on in the middle of this offer to move into this space, and just to see how the Lord provided for us early on. I call them like monuments of God's grace, you know, that in the hard moments, in the hard times, when you're having doubts, when you're having fears, when you're having anxieties, these are things that you can go back and you can just see time after time, the Lord's provision, the Lord's care, how he showed up. And now here we are 11 years later, and you know, there are 5 congregations, and even to this day, like the Lord continues to show up in ways that we don't necessarily anticipate or expect to provide for us to continue to plant and do what the Lord's called us to do. And I'm super thankful for that. And again, I think that's because it's his thing, not our thing.
Yeah. We got about one more minute left, Jay. We just sped right by.
Drive time.
Drive time. Here's the question. So we've reflected on 11 years. We've also, you know, been planning for the future. We did a 2030 series to start the year.
Yeah.
Thinking 2 years down the road and so on and so forth. But what's the thing that you're maybe most excited about or you're anticipating the most for the next 11 years?
Yeah, maybe this is a cheesy answer. I just want to say more of the same. Like the Lord's going to continue to bring people to be a part of his bride. And he's going to continue to bring people around who aren't satisfied with just showing up on Sunday and calling that church. He's going to continue to bring people who want to be missionaries in their places. He's bringing people around who have questions about God, about Jesus, about the church, and our church families rubbing shoulders with them and being intentional and sharing their stories of grace with people. And I'm thankful for that. And so Summit's made up of both people who want to be missionaries, people who are growing as disciples, people who have questions and are coming to faith in Christ and growing in their faith in Christ. And so I'm super thankful for that, and I'm anticipating more. And as a result of more of those folks joining us, we'll continue to be able to plant churches. Because, like I said, the church is a reproducing organism. It should naturally be reproducing. And if the Lord's going to be faithful to continue to bring us people to shepherd, continue to bring us people to live on mission, continue to bring us people who are asking questions and stepping into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then we're going to continue to plant churches around the upstate of South Carolina where those people live and do life, allowing them to be missionaries in those places. I'm excited about the future.
Wonderful. Hey, we did it.
We did it. First podcast.
Wait, yeah, one more question. One more answer.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite coworker?
Oh, my favorite coworker? Yeah. My wife, Jen Malone. She's awesome.
Oh. Hey, listen, Jason, you know all this stuff, but I'm going to remind the people. You can listen on our website,
sunrisepsa.org.
Right. Yep. We're going to be on all the platforms. So your iTunes.
Yes.
Podcasting. We'll be on Spotify, etc.
Yeah.
Going forward. But go ahead. Just keep coming back. Every Monday, we'll be here driving with you.
Share it with somebody. Let's get it out there. Let's let people know what's up.
So listen, we'll be back next week. Drive time. It's happening.
Be safe out there, everybody. 10-2 on the steering wheel. You're looking at 10-2.
Listen, don't
put the cell phone down.
Don't text.
Don't text and drive.